So today's an unusual day. And we're in a position where we celebrate New Year's, like, thank you very much. Several times a year, we have, you know, this conventional Western calendar New Year, December 31st, New Year's Eve, tomorrow, January 1st, the Gregorian calendar. But then we know here in Thailand, this is a minor holiday. You don't have to break out the big fireworks. Because that, when will it be this year? February? Do you know the day yet? April?
Chinese New Year. The first is the Chinese.
Yeah. Oh, so Thai have their, all right, so then there'll be Chinese New Year in February sometime. Then the Thai New Year. And then we'll also have Gaur Purnima. And then later, so Mahaprabhu's appearance under Gaurabda,
yeah.
Right?
And there's
another.
Shak
era.
Yeah.
And, but I think as an overview, what it tells us is that all of these things are meant for remembrance, to bring about some kind of remembrance, right? To make reflection. That's why we're fortunate with the Vaishnava calendar that throughout the year there's so many appearance days, day of great saints, and on that day we'll recall them, their activities, their mood of devotion, things like that. And there's a secular or mundane way of interpreting events and signs and symbols. And there's a very high spiritual way to do that also. Like we heard a long time ago, and we've read in the Bhagavatam too, there's a science of meaning, you know, where you see things in the environment and they're meant to indicate an auspicious or inauspicious sign. So, for example, like carrying, if you see someone carrying two buckets, if they're empty, that's not, and you're about to go on a journey, that's not a good sign. If the buckets are full of water or full of whatever, that's a good sign. That's one. I forget what the Sanskrit terminology for it, but it means, so they're always looking. I remember a devotee in the past painted with that. And whenever we'd go, like, we're going to get on the train or go on a major trip or something, you'd be searching for those auspicious signs or inauspicious signs about the journey. But interestingly, Srila Guru Maharaj said that Radharani, she knows all of these. This science, of course. All these different things. But her way of interpreting is they're indicating favorability for meeting Krishna or not. So she sees, Krishna will come. Oh, that's a good sign. Different things like that. So the same things, different level of interpretation. So, and it means, really, according to what is meaningful in someone's life, all these things are being considered. So, in one part of the world, December 31st, that's, you know, or we just had December 24th, like, that's a big deal in America, Christmas Eve and Christmas, but not such a big deal in Russia. You go to Russia, what is it in Russia? Like, January 10th, I think, is like the more important day. But still, there are these markers. We see the human tendency to mark certain days as being auspicious. Again, we know some of this goes back to seasonal changes, like the winter solstice. And we just had to change, what is it, December 22nd, when it changed from autumn to winter. And some of these pagan celebrations were co-opted by Christians or the Catholic Church. But still, there's this idea that what's going on in this world is somehow a signifier or representative of something going on in another world, or what we like to call the upper world, or higher reality. These are the lower, more external aspects of reality, but then they may be, we want to trace them toward reality, toward spiritual substance. So, just, and in this regard, when something would come up that's more from the Christian point of view, Christian signifiers, markers, etc., celebrations, I noticed in Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Gurudev a very generous attitude and way of seeing those things. Like some of the most profound interpretations that we got about Jesus Christ and his pastimes came from Srila Guru Maharaj, like giving some deep insight. As a mind, the Judas pastime, where he's saying that Judas betrays Jesus, and then as he's going by with the cross, going up to Mount Calvary, he stops at one point and looks at Judas, and Judas sees this look, and he goes off and hangs himself. So Guru Maharaj said, what was in that look? That this was the outcome. He said, what was in that look? That Christ is turning to him and saying, Prabhu, forgive me for using you this way. Be black for all time to come. But you're my trusted associate. I could only entrust you with this type of seva. Your name will be black eternally. But, so forgive me, but for the necessity of this pastime, I had to use you this way. So please forgive me for my offense. Christ is saying that to him, and then Judas saying, he's so kind, so merciful, he goes off and hangs himself. So, what I mean to say is how Guru Maharaj, when these different Western calendar events would come up, he'd have his own way of kind of looking at them. We know in his own world, for him, the day, a very auspicious day, is the Rath Yatra of Jagannath. And he said, that is the day when you want to start something new. It's the most auspicious day of the year to start something new. So what did he start on Rath Yatra day? In 1942, in Navadvip, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. That's the birthday of Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. It's on the Jagannath Rath Yatra. It's also, later, the day that he gave Gurudev Harinam. So it's significant in different ways. So, we have a tendency, from the Western point of view at this time, to reflect upon the last year. So you'll see everywhere on the internet and magazines, and they'll tell you all the people who died last year. Here's the list of so many famous people who died. And I can tell you this much, as I get older, like... When you're younger, you go like, oh, a lot of old people died. And as you get older, you start going like, hey, these people are either my age or younger. Like, I always think of Steve Jobs as being like, you know, my man, Steve, or, you know, I'm 4 years older than him. I was going, that can't be right. So they have these lists at the end of the year, all the famous people who died. It goes on, your age starts becoming similar to theirs. I mean, young people died in the last year also. There's that thing too. But so mortality, memento mori, this reminder. And how do they portray one of the stereotypes of the change of the new year and the old year? Is last year is done almost like a death. Not the Grim Reaper, but an old man who's on the verge of dying. And the new year is represented as a baby, you know, tied. So I guess I'm the oldest person in this room. And that little baby is the Tanu Shri, is the new year baby. So that's one thing, to reflect upon that, what? About the mortality, to realize, you know, time's going by. How are you using your time? It's a time of reflection for devotees too. You can think, what service did we do in the last year? And then this place particularly, of course, our Anu Krishna is here with us, so we're a little sad at this. She should be here for this day. But this place is almost like on its 1 year anniversary, right? Yeah, of coming here. But it celebrated 1 year of like being in Puri, I mean, as a group. At the 1 year anniversary of the group, this service group, because it did start in Puri, right?
Yeah.
So that was like a few weeks ago. So it's generally that. So it has some significance here too, that this community root, like when we hear about Shraddha, Sarusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Tato Nishta. One meaning of Nishta is when, like the creeper, when it takes root, then it's not so easily removed, and it can withstand, it can live in the environment. That's one way of looking at it. So this community here is also taking root and has demonstrated its ability to live within this environment and thrive and be vital. So we can think about the service that's been done in the last year and what will be done in the next year, but that another person will be speaking about soon. Which means, you know, Srila Bhakti Bimal Avadhut Maharaj. He'll come in here and I'm preparing you. Avadhut Maharaj will want to be talking about what we'll be doing in August. That we should all plan that out right now. And it's very important that we do it now. Because if we're going to do anything substantial, there has to be advance notice. You know. So it reminds me of a sweet story in relation to Srila Guru Maharaj. We may know that in India, whenever they make a mat or buy a temple or build a temple, it's all paid for. You buy the land and you build a temple. They never like take a loan. They don't do that. It's not in their playbook, so to speak. But once, when Srila Guru Maharaj and his party, they were in South India and building a temple for Srila Saraswati and the Gaudiya Math. And at a particular point, they ran out of funding. And they didn't want the construction to stop. So they did, and think, this was in the 30s. So how even more extraordinary it was. They took out a loan so they could continue the construction. But they're kind of like trying to keep that a little bit hidden from Saraswati Thakur, thinking he might be disturbed. And inevitably, Srila Saraswati Thakur heard about, oh no, now Prabhupada knows, what are we going to do? And Saraswati Thakur was very happy. And he said, Nada, only have you in... Yes. Hare Krishna. So he said, not only have you engaged all of your present... Give him something to play with, like a person. That's usually the most... your very own human being. So anyway, so Saraswati Thakur surprised them by saying, not only have you engaged all your present serving energy, like everything you had, you gave that in service, but you've risked your future. I like that. Even what you don't have yet, you've also, you're giving that. So that's how we can think. That we're trying to give what we have now. Yud Maharaj will be pressing us for the future. And that's why he's our best friend. We couldn't have a better friend than him, because he's always giving us service opportunities. Like Srila Guru Maharaj said this about Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada. He said, where are you going to find such a friend as this? He said, even though he's left the world, he's still engaging me in preaching, because he considered that all of us coming from the West to hear from Guru Maharaj, as Gurudev said, also in still taking Swami Maharaj's prasad. You know, like after 20, 30 years, it's still true. So Guru Maharaj was attributing all of us coming to his lotus feet to hear from him as Prabhupada engaging him in preaching and serving. And then he said like that in a very affectionate way, where are you going to find a friend like that? You know, so in a similar way, Avadhut Maharaj is that type of friend for all of us. Many things could be said, but one thing we can say for sure is he engages everybody in, and in connection with him, we get innumerable serving opportunities. There's no shortage of that. Shyama Mohini is nodding with in a very knowledgeable way. So, for actually, and this place, for many years it's been thought about. You know that, and Avadhut Maharaj, and I know it a little bit myself, really at least 5 years before thinking about the future, and repeatedly it would come up here, not specifically here, but it was like about Thailand and the special connection between Russia and India and the placement, and now China and the gateway to the East. And as I was saying earlier today, I got to find this quote from UNESCO about the special designation of the city. And it's more than the heritage, and it's a little different. It's about culture, it remaining, it has some other name they use. It's what you said, true, about culture, but they want to make sure, I mean, it's divine indication in the background. They don't want this to turn into what other places have become. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's enough of it. They want this to remain a cultural center, you know, for, and it said 15, 20 years, and if you, they want that to be the, oh, that creative things will be done here. That was the point. I mean, it's ironic that they're saying this in light of this particular project. They want it to remain a creative center that attracts creative individuals who, you know, generate nice things, content, and What's the purpose of culture but to enlighten people? So, anyway, I didn't want to speak too long this evening because we have, there's some events scheduled. It's like a tradition we're adopting here of offering the lights into the sky. That type of illuminating activity. So we'll all happily do that. And I think everyone here is happy and thankful to have spent however much time in the last year and is looking forward to the next year. Because now everybody's settled. Because no one was sure it could actually happen before. The logistics of it all and so many foreigners staying and whatever. Now those things seem almost trivial in comparison. And the future looks bright. The future prospect, type of spiritual media content being generated and produced here. Everybody's become so qualified that I'm embarrassed. When I'm with everyone here, I think, gosh, I'm going to have to do something again. I thought I was just going to like go out, right, on the wave of past, and I can see that's not in the cards. Everybody here is doing, they're in doing mode, which is a very healthy, good environment. And they're all uniquely qualified, so there's not a lot of redundancy. That's good too. What all we're trying to do is, with what we know of modern culture and technology and such things, media, is to make a bridge from Krishna conception to people like us. We know what people in the modern world are like. We are them in many different ways. So we should be the ones, the onus is upon us as a service to create a bridge between these things. Like many years ago at the Guardian Devotion Press, we're working on this one article of Guru Maharaj, and it was called The Pontifical Position of Madhavendra Puri. And I thought, when Guru Maharaj uses a word, it's always the precise word, the perfect word. Let's see if I can translate this. Mark Twain said, you know who Mark Twain is, right? So Mark Twain said, what's the difference between like the precise, in writing, the precise word and an acceptable word? He said, is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. You know, a firefly. Lightning and a lightning bug. A firefly. So when Guru Maharaj selects a word, it's lightning. It's the precise. So when he titled the article Pontifical Position of Madhavendra Puri, I thought, I've got to study this word pontifical. Because I've never heard it used. And the only way we know pontiff in English is the Pope in Italy. He's called the pontiff. So I just thought, I don't get it, you know. So I started studying. Usually, if I'll do a little research, then I'll understand why Guru Maharaj selected. And I think, and Madhavendra Puri, what do we always say about him? Oh, from Madhva line, Puri, that's the beginning of the Gaudiya line. So, but what does this word mean? So pontiff, like we also have a word in English, pontoons. There are planes that don't have wheels. They're like little pontoons, like little boats, instead of, they land on water. Again, pontoon. So pontiff means a bridge. So when Guru Maharaj said, the pontifical position of Madhavendra Puri, he's saying, he's the bridge by which the Madhva Sampradaya crosses over and to the Gaudiya line. That's what he meant. And I went, ah. So that's a very high thing, right? Krishna consciousness is a very high thing. It's the highest thing. But anyway, that's a high example. But in a modest way, in a humble way, this is how we can use our past in present service and future service to Krishna consciousness, is we understand something about the modern world and the modern people in it. We weren't born in, you know, Punya Bhumi, you know, in India, in some holy place. Most of us, I mean, we have some Indian devotees who are, that's a different thing. But still, so that kind of stereotypical sadhu-like background we don't have. But we do understand things about people in the modern world and the digital world and all of that. So that gives us the good fortune of having the seva of making the bridge from Navadvip, the center, the seat of Mahaprabhu's Krishna conception, creating a bridge from that, from our Guru, their Krishna conception, to people in the modern world through digital media. That's what this project is here. It takes specific shape in different ways, but that's actually what we're trying to do. It's preaching. And that way, it's all preaching. What everybody here is doing is preaching. When we established Guardian of Devotion Press many years ago, again, we're always looking at words because Guru Maharaj is using them in novel ways, and we're also interested in it. And so, thinking about our place, because it was mainly every room was for printing. Every room where devotees lived was like light table, drafting table, typesetter, you know, and we just slept on the floor at night on a little mat or something, but then put that away, and it looked like a printing press. If anyone came to visit there, it looked like you were visiting a printing, graphic design printing operation housed in a very nice house. And then we had this one very nice room where the deities were in the temple room. Again, looking in the dictionary, I saw the word chapel. You know chapel? Like, you know the word chapel, right?
Like church?
Yeah, but... And,
like small.
Right, exactly. So, and what it said was, because usually a chapel, like if this was the Christian equivalent, then you'd have this one room and say, oh, that's where the chapel is. It would be, Russian Orthodox Church is more like that, where they have the little rooms. So those are chapels. But the original concept of a chapel went back to the Middle Ages. It's where the monks were who were doing all the, like, they had one group where they're making all those beautiful letters. I forget what they call that. When you make a page like that, has one big, beautiful letter, and it escapes me. You know how they used to make Bibles, and with ornaments. So you had artistic monks, some doing letters, others scholarly, others checking the words, some doing translation, and... Not calligraphy. It has another name. They use it most often with related to Korans, because Korans are super ornate. It has a special name. But like calligraphy, so calligraphy, translators, and they had a small area where their worship would take place. That's what a chapel was. So it's in a similar way. This place is evolving like that. And what is in store for the future? We're simple-hearted devotees. We do not know so much about that. But whatever Krishna's plan is, we're happy with that. But it's been a good year here. The next year looks even more promising in terms of increased seva opportunities. More digital media, more content, more access, a broader group of people. I think Srila Gurudev is pleased. Srila Guru Maharaj is pleased. Srila Saraswati Thakur, on what level would he be pleased? On what level would he be pleased? Remember, from him comes the idea of the Brihat Mridanga, calling the printing press the Brihat Mridanga. So then what would he think of the internet? The printing press was the Brihat Mridanga. Then the internet, the possibilities are, astonishing and inconceivable. And he also said things like, in a mood of great intensity, that he was prepared to take all the marble off the walls of the temple and sell it and produce books. That he also said. So that type of intense missionary spirit to extend Krishna conception. So many times Srila Guru Maharaj would tell me, what's been given to you has been given freely, but with the tacit understanding that you will extend it to others. That's for having received this, you have this unspoken obligation to extend it to others. And then he would add this part, saying, and not anything less than was given to you. You can say, oh, Gurudev, Guru, they gave such, but I... No, then what they gave, to the extent we can appreciate that, said, that's what you must extend. Nothing given. And then we'll say, well, then that will require us to rise to constantly to higher levels of understanding and appreciation. Hare Krishna. So this is we're practicing for our next New Year's celebration. Next will be Chinese, then Mahaprabhu's birthday, and then Thai New Year. Is that the time when they like 5 days or 7 days, everybody
throw it in water?
Yeah, and goes to their village or, yeah. Very sweet. Durga Puja was originally in springtime in Bengal, and they moved it to October. Because that's the biggest festival. It goes by the name of Puja. When you say Puja in Bengal, like where will you be for the Puja? It means, it can only mean Durga Puja. And there, but it's so nice. Everything is a cause for celebration. Like I say, what are we celebrating today? They go, oh, Vishwakarma Puja. What's that word? Oh, now we worship our tools. So like doing video, you take incense and offer it to the camera and do arati and put a garland on your red scarlet, because that's during the year. It's got a puja for everything. Right after Durga Puja, it's so huge, it fades and you go, then suddenly there's another. So what's that? Kali Puja. And then in the springtime, which is coming soon, like these birds here, the kokil, that bird, they have them here. That they follow spring in India. Then comes Saraswati Puja. And so, all wonderful celebrations.